Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The recent earnings season has mostly wrapped up, with most firms posting expected declines during the months when the COVID-19 pandemic began to gain steam across the region. Now, the outlook might even be worse, especially when taking into account the lengthy circuit breaker measures implemented here in Singapore. Well, today on Money FM 89.3, I'm pleased to have Mr. Adrian Liu, the head of research at UOB Kay Hian, to help recap the recent earnings season and what opportunities and challenges Singapore's firms might face in this quarter and beyond. Mr. Liu, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm glad to hear that you're in good health in these times, and welcome to the show for the first time. Appreciate having you here.
Thank you.
As we mentioned, earnings season has pretty much wrapped up already. Can you give us your impressions as the head of research at UOB Kay Hian for first quarter earnings? How bad really was it, both on a year-on-year basis, and whether or not this was better or worse than what your expectations were?
Actually, in terms of the first quarter earnings, it wasn't as bad as what we expected on a year-on-year basis and against our expectations, mainly because the circuit breaker only started relatively late. And there were, you know, obviously the social distancing rules, and you know, Singapore was affected by it. But it didn't come until second quarter. So second quarter will definitely be quite badly affected.
So what is your outlook then for the second quarter? The circuit breaker measures were pretty much extended April and May. It might be a little too early, but does UOB Kay Hian have any initial estimates for how bad the second quarter might actually be?
Actually, the market does know that second quarter is going to be worse than the first quarter. That's for sure. So while results may be bad for some and pretty much terrible for others, we believe that investors are already looking forward and toward the reopening of the Singapore and regional economies. So what you've seen in some of the share price movements in terms of the retail REITs, for example, such as Lendlease, Capital Mall Trust, and Sasio REIT, they all did very well last week. We also have seen ComfortDelGro remain quite strong despite its exclusion from the MSCI Singapore Index. And just today, SIA is up around 5% on news that it, together with Silcare, will be resuming some flight routes. So the market, being a forward-looking animal, is going to discount quite a lot of the bad news that's going to come out in the second quarter. So while there may be some share price dips and some concerns when results come out for the second quarter, we believe that the market will look forward towards third quarter and fourth quarter resumption of normalcy.
So is it possible then, Mr. Liu, that some or a chunk of the bad news or expectations of bad earnings in the second quarter might already be priced in, which is why markets are looking forward?
Yeah, we think a substantial amount of the bad news is already priced in. I think, you know, as you walk around Singapore and look at, you know, the relatively empty streets and the empty malls, we all know that Singapore is not doing well. But that being said, you know, obviously today, 2nd of June, we're starting this phase one of the reopening, and potentially in the middle of this month, the government will announce the reopening regulations regarding phase two. So, you know, a lot of the bad news, in our view at least, has already been priced in. So we don't expect the market to go back towards a bottom in the near term.
We're still speaking to Mr. Adrian Liu, who's the head of research at UOB Kay Hian here on Money FM 89.3. One thing that really makes Singaporean markets and equities stand out are the dividends and distributions that are among the most attractive features for the stocks and REITs that are listed here. However, the recent pandemic and turmoil has driven a lot of companies to think about saving cash and perhaps even pulling back a little bit on these dividend payments. Now, when we look at Singapore, there are three major sectors that some analysts have identified: the banks, property and REITs, and also the telcos. Based on what you're looking at and based on what you've seen in dividends, whose dividend policies will remain under threat? And conversely, who might be actually in a good position to maintain or keep erosion of any dividends at a minimum?
Well, I think if you look at the three major dividend-paying sectors, the banks, REITs, and telcos, you know, if we take banks, for example, in the past couple of months, you know, with the oil price correction, Singapore banks have obviously been hit by oil traders' bankruptcies. and also arguably with the bank's broad exposure to the economy, they will be negatively impacted as well. But we do note that Singapore banks have very strong Tier 1 capital ratios and adequate provisioning. So we believe that financially they're pretty robust. Their wealth management divisions have also performed very well for them in the past few years. So while there is a possibility for banks to cut cash dividends, we think that they may be able to make some of that up by giving scrip dividends instead, which they have done in the past. So in any case, we do see their dividend policy as sustainable due to their very high Tier 1 capital ratios. If we move to the REIT sector, we are bullish on all of the subsectors, the retail, office, healthcare, industrial, and hospitality. Just last week, we upgraded our call on the retail and hospitality REITs post the Fortitude budget, as we believe that they're the biggest beneficiaries of the Phase 2 reopening of the Singapore economy. And incrementally, better news should boost their share prices, and we believe that their dividend per unit should remain supported. REITs have, in general, already deferred or lowered their DPU where necessary, so we don't expect any bad news on this front. Obviously, last but not least, one company which we didn't think needed to conserve cash was Singtel, which in its recent FY20 earnings disappointed us with a lower-than-expected dividend payout. It's been doing well with cost savings, so we expect this to continue, and its forecast CapEx for FY21 for 5G is not expected to be onerous. But nevertheless, we have lowered our payout ratio to 80%, which implies a roughly 5% yield for the company, which is still not too bad. So in terms of all three sectors, the sector that did actually disappoint us was telcos. So banks and REITs have remained relatively supportive for now.
But when we look forward, there seems to be resurgent tensions again between the U.S. and China. There's a plethora of flashpoints here from the issues regarding Huawei CFO to finger-pointing about the coronavirus and even some of the issues with regards to Hong Kong's new security law. Taking in totality, how are the resurgent U.S.-China tensions impacting your earnings calculations and your expectations for markets moving forward?
At the moment, we haven't taken them into account, but obviously, we do keep a very close eye on the regional developments and international developments as they occur. Obviously, with Singapore being a very open economy, any sort of call that comes through from the international sector, we will definitely feel the chill. So at the moment, we haven't imputed any negative impacts on from the U.S.-China tensions, but we are keeping a close eye on it.
Staying with Hong Kong, there is one set of stocks here listed, at least on the SGX, that might be in the crosshairs of what happens in Hong Kong, and that happens to be the class of Jardine stocks. They seem to be caught between the global downturn and also some of the issues in Hong Kong. Do you think that that investors, at least, need to worry about some of these stocks, or do you think that they might actually be resilient to some of what's going on?
Yeah, I think on a day-to-day basis, the news flow definitely will affect the share prices of these stocks. But for some of the more consumer-centric stocks, like Dairy Farm, for example, they should have pretty resilient earnings. It's just whether what sort of valuation multiple you would attribute to it and whether you need to take an adequate discount to factor in the risks of them having Hong Kong exposure. But we don't cover the Jardine stocks, so we can't have a recommendation on them.
Fair enough, sir. Well, my last question then for you is, despite all of the hiccups we saw in the month of May, it seems that markets refuse to fall significantly below 2,500. Do you think that markets have drawn a line in the sand at this particular level? And if so, is it salient at least to bet that maybe stocks won't be falling and will actually form a longer support at this particular spot, at this particular level?
Yeah, we definitely think so. We think that our base case scenario is that we are going to be bumping along for pretty much most of the third quarter, and we have a resumption of growth by the fourth, given that infection rates have largely plateaued and drastically dropped in the case of a few countries. So economies are gradually reopening in the next few months. Singapore, obviously starting today. So obviously, the risks to our base case scenario include a reinfection of population, the second wave, as they call it, and obviously longer than expected situations, such as controlling the infection in foreign workers' facilities, which does seem to, in all fairness, be under control at the moment. So in that sense, you know, we think our base case scenario still holds. With subdued near-term inflation and aggressive monetary policies globally, we have interest rates that are likely to remain very low for an extended period. So this may actually drive market multiples higher despite deteriorating earnings estimates. And in this sort of situation, we think equities will benefit relative to cash or bonds. So yes, I think we don't see a another push towards 2,500 for the STI. We have a year-end STI target of 2,760, which implies roughly sort of 10+% upside from current levels. Based on consensus numbers, the STI is currently trading at around 10 times price to earnings and 0.8 times price to book. So those are substantial discounts, respectively, to their 10-year averages. So we think, you know, the STI has adequately factored in quite a lot of the risks that we are seeing at the moment. So we think that there is some upside for the STI at the moment.
Mr. Adrian Low, Head of Research at UOB Kay Hian, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule today to join us on Money FM 89.3 and share your findings and thoughts on recent earnings and earnings moving forward. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health in these times and a blessed afternoon ahead. Have a great day, sir.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.